am. I can't tell up here, but you all will be like, I can't hear you if I'm not, so I think we got that figured out. All right, well, I'd appreciate if you take your Bibles and go ahead and turn to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2. There's some of the couple really common verses that we use when we're dealing with somebody about salvation is verses 8 and 9, where the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And those are common, very common, they're very powerful, and they are very direct, they're to the point, they answer so many questions that many people have about what can get them to heaven, and they bring it down to the fact that there's nothing you can do. It's by grace alone, it's by Christ, and Christ alone. I like Ephesians chapter 2 for one of the reasons that it really contrasts the difference between that which is in enmity with God and that which was in line with God. And Ephesians chapter 2 puts that together so well. But we're going to look at verse number 10 tonight. We're going to look at verse number 10. So if you'd stand for the reading of the Word of God, we are very familiar with this passage of Scripture, I imagine. But verse 10 here, it simply says, "For we," those of us that are saved by grace through faith, "we," those people, "are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." If you kind of get the impression tonight, we are going to be talking about our walk in good works. Our good works. How do we have good works? How do we establish good works? What are these works? Hopefully we can answer those questions in your own minds, because I hope most of us have some understanding of what the Scripture says. So I'm not here to try to tell you new things, but I'm here to hopefully help us. Hey, this is truth. This is simple. Am I walking accordingly? Let's go to the Word in prayer. Lord, we do thank You for Your Word, for Your truth. Lord, help us just to listen to it as it is Your truth and not anyone's in particular, but this is Yours. So we ask that You'd guide us, lead us, direct, and that You'd bless this time that we have in Your house tonight, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. Good works are something that we will often hear people talking about good works, and sometimes we get tired of good works because people talk about, are you doing good works? And then there's all these different religions and these different groups out there that do good works. And I get kind of annoyed when people talk about good works, because I associate the phrase with activities that people involve themselves in. So we're going to define good works. And we're going to define good works this way. Good works in our life are when we yield ourselves to His use. That's a good work. That is good work. That means if you are cleaning a toilet for the Lord, that is a good work. That means if you're yielding yourself for any service to Him, that is a good work. Now, there's two ways about this. There's even the Scripture deals with this sometimes. You know, you get tired of going down the road sometimes and there's somebody standing right there that, "I need some money for gas." And they're all over the place nowadays. And, you know, there are times that I don't give people money, but there are times I will put gas in their tank. And there are times I will take food and stuff it in their mouth. No, I'm not giving you money for food, but I'll give you food. They usually don't want the food, though. But it's interesting. But when we're doing those things, there is only reason the Scripture gives us to give to that need, and that is as unto the Lord. See, if I give it because I think somebody has a need and I am fulfilling that need in their life, that's not a good work. That's me trying to feel good about myself and my observation and my ability to fix people's problems. And since I'm a man, I like to fix problems. I'll pat myself on the back. No, but if I identify this person has a need, and were Christ here, He would minister to this person. So in Christ's name, I shall minister to him, which usually comes, "By the way, do you know my Jesus?" So a good work is when we yield ourselves to His service. Christ is our example of good works. He is our example. But what we are going to deal with tonight is just simply how to develop good works in our life. How to develop good works in our life. So if you flip over to Titus chapter 2, the Apostle Paul gives somebody named Titus some instruction on good works. And I like it because it's simple, which is why I like it, because it is simple. If it wasn't simple, I wouldn't get it, which is why I like the Word of God. It was given for simple minds, which is why I like the Word of God. Because I can understand it. And if I don't understand it, I know the author, and I can ask him. And if I lack wisdom, all I got to do is ask him. And if I am lacking wisdom, it means I'm not asking him. Titus chapter 2. If we look down in verse number 7, he's giving some instruction to the young man. He's given instruction to the aged women. He's given instruction that the elder would teach the younger. The elder women would teach the young women, and he's just giving some instruction here. But in number 6, he says, here in Titus chapter 2, look at verse number 6, it says, young men, likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Get this in verse number 7. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. Showing thyself a pattern of good works. Here the Apostle Paul introduces to Titus, with instruction to young men, that they would show themselves a pattern of good works. This stands out to me because I like, patterns are interesting. Have you ever gone to work and they use a term about a function that they do and they call it policies? Has anybody heard that word before, policies? Well, at my job, we have a few things, that procedures that we do. But with that procedure, there is a policy to follow. We have an opening routine. Is you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. What that is, it is a pattern for how the morning starts. You know, there's also a pattern for other simple things like paper airplanes. You know there's patterns for paper airplanes? All sorts of patterns. But the basic gist of a paper airplane is you take a piece of paper, you wad it up, and you toss it, and it flies, right? That didn't work out too good, did it? It didn't work out. You know why it didn't work out? Because I didn't use a pattern. Now, were I to use a pattern, by the way, I've never used my Sunday morning message for an illustration before. Were you to use a pattern, you would fold it a certain way, your favorite way, the way your friend did it when you were younger and you never made one that flew as far as he did, but he always rubbed it in and said, I can make a better paper than you, and I'm glad I was that friend so I didn't have to worry about it. Some people don't have that luxury. But you know, when you follow a pattern and you make a paper airplane using a reasonable pattern that works, that is tried, that is tested, that it's as proven, and you make that and you put it together, it is not some wadded up piece of paper. And when you get it all finished and you put it together, could you have done this faster? It's because I'm talking and I can't multitask. So when you do this and then you throw it, hopefully it flies a little bit better. Well, at least it didn't go plop. That is a pattern. Wadded up is not. But I can tell you, what we do in our Christian life and our service to God is often just wadding up our religion and relationship and throwing it out there, and let's see what happens. So I would have us consider that if we are to have good works, we should, as Paul says in Titus, to show ourselves a pattern of good works. A pattern of good works. Where do I get a pattern of good works? Well, thanks for asking. I think we can go to the Word of God for that. A pattern. Patterns are everywhere. My wife's a seamstress. She's worked a number of jobs dealing with seamstressy things. She knows how to sew. And when she put together a dress or a shirt or something, there is a pattern that she follows. And the result, the end result, looks like the original pattern looks like what it's supposed to look like. Wow. God gave us a pattern. Or shall I say, Christ gave us a pattern. The Word of God details patterns in our lives. And the reason why we don't reflect Christ in our life is not because the pattern is bad, but it's often because maybe we did not follow the pattern so that we could show ourselves a pattern of good works. When we go out in this, and I appreciate the testimony time, and when people say, hey, God's doing this in my life, it was great to be a part of this. It was good to see God move in this area of my life. As Christians, we should be able to identify points in our life where we just see God working. And I will say this, there needs to be a pattern of that. We need to have a pattern of God working in our personal life. We need to have a pattern of God working in our public life. We need to have a pattern of God working in our church life, our work life, our family life, our relation life. Whatever it is, we should see a pattern of God working. If we don't, it means we're following the wrong pattern. And yes, we can follow the wrong pattern. We can follow the pattern society gives us. We can follow the pattern religion gives us. We can follow the pattern tradition gives us. We can follow the pattern convenience gives us. We need to follow the pattern that Christ has given us. We need to develop a pattern of good works. But this is something we need to understand about good works, is that they are designed. Where we started out, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God before hath ordained that we should walk in them." God has ordained good works. That means they are designed so that we should walk in them. They are not something that is just a good thought. They are not something that in preaching and teaching the Word of God, your pastor will just say, "Well, I think it's good if you do this and do this and do this." Well, it might be good for him to say that, but but if he does, he needs to be getting it from the clear Word of God. You know, we can identify areas in the Word of God where there was a pattern developed, revealed, and taught by Christ for his disciples to follow, for his followers to follow. And if you're saved and if you're a follower of Christ, it applies to you. Christ established the pattern of service. He established a pattern of service. In our service to God, as we yield ourselves to him, that is in essence what good works are. Good works are not me in my flesh doing something that I can attribute as actions that I am performing so that men might see my good works. No, my works are so that I can present myself to God as a living sacrifice, as Romans chapter 12 will teach us. We are to be a living sacrifice unto God, to where this is the life which I now live. This is not my life, but this is the life which I now live. And in this life, with this opportunity and the grace God has given me, I serve him. Amen. And desire him to get the glory, the credit. Let's flip over to Matthew chapter 10. We might be flipping back and forth a little bit, but I have the impression that there'll be no problem with that. Matthew chapter 10, Christ established the pattern of service. Matthew chapter 10, we're going to look at verse number 32. And there's a few verses in here, but we might skip some of them. But Matthew chapter 10, there's a couple things that are pretty important here. But verse number 32, Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, the Bible says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." We have to consider that the onset of our service in our ministry to Christ, he is the one that we should be confessing. He is the one that we should be saying, "Hey, just so you know, I'm a Christian. I love God. And I've noticed that there's just, can I help you with something? Can I pray with you about something?" You know, we need to establish who we are doing it for. We need to confess Him. We see someone that's in need of something. Well, I just want you to know, because God loves me and He's provided for me, I want to fulfill this need in your life. Because of what God's done for me, because of His goodness, I just pass it through. But we need a first step in our service is really just confessing Him. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. You know, sometimes we can deny Him not with our words, but with our actions. In our life, you know why so many Christians have bad testimonies? It's sometimes just the way they act. Sometimes it's the way they act while doing good things. Does your life reflect Christ or deny Christ? This is important stuff. Whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I... Oh, can you imagine being denied by God? Because of the way you're acting right now, have you ever thought that you're just not being blessed in your life? Have you ever thought that the windows of heaven were closed to you? Well, analyze your life. Have you been denying Christ or have you been reflecting Him? Verse 34, think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace but a sword. Oh, totally unrelated. I was at work one time talking to a fella. He did not want to believe in the God of the Bible, the God of heaven. He didn't want to believe in the God of creation. He didn't want to believe in all that. He believed in pagan Norse gods. And he did that, he said, because God promised there would be peace and there's not peace, so I don't believe in God. This false Norse pagan God promised there'd be no frost giants on the earth, and are there frost giants? I'm like, who said there'd be peace? God never said there'd be peace. In fact, He said, I'm not sending peace, I'm bringing the sword. I think you listened to the wrong guide. You listened to the wrong person. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And it goes on to here, but verse number 38 is really where this is meeting. This is the pattern of service. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. The pattern of service that our good work should be based on is that, losing our life that we might gain it. What are you talking about? Jesus Christ. He lost His life that we might gain ours. His good works. Remember, He said, I must be about my Father's business. His Father's business was that the plan of redemption would unfold to us so that we might be redeemed. And He's like, I must be about my Father's business. He was about good works. He lifted up the Father. He denied Himself. Submitted unto the death of the cross. That's the pattern of service. And if our works do not reflect that, they are not good works. As a Christian, whether it's giving somebody a cup of water or giving somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ, my works must reflect His work. Amen. That is good works. That is the pattern of good works. And that's the pattern I need in my life. Amen. And if I don't have that pattern in my life, where am I? Right. Christ established the pattern of good works. He established the pattern of service. He is the example. He is the picture. He is the bar we're aiming for. He is the mark that we will always fall short of. But let's not stop trying. He established the pattern. You know, service to God, performing good works, functioning as a believer, goes hand in hand with prayer. And I would if you think prayer is a part of our works as a Christian, I would agree with you. But Christ also established the pattern of prayer. The pattern of prayer. If you want to flip over to Matthew chapter 6, just in case you were wondering if we're going to get there, Matthew chapter 6, He established the pattern of prayer. Now, we understand if we were to look at verse number 9 when he starts giving them what we would call the model prayer is, we understand that he's illustrating that, hey, this is important. But before we got there, we also understand the place of prayer, and the place of prayer and the direction of prayer is to be positionally and only for God. And when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. You don't be as the publican going out at the corner of the busiest part in town. No, the Pharisee, not the Pharisee, going out into the busiest part of town just so he can show people how religious he is. Because, oh, I want people to know how much of a Christian I am. I want people to know how much work I put into this Christian. I want people to know how serious I am. I want people to know, I mean, I just want them to know that I don't know what I want them to know, but I want them to know it. And if we're not careful, in church, in our own lives, we start doing the same things. We're just acting out our religion before men. But Christ is, remember, he's giving this instruction to the people who are literally walking with him and talking with him on a daily basis. And if they need it, I sure need it too. Because I am... in this room, I'll be honest with you, I am probably the most likely to forget it, just knowing who I am. I love to talk. I have no problem talking. I don't know why, but it is easy to talk, and I don't mind talking. Some people get really nervous about talking. I get nervous about making my wife embarrassed. And see, that doesn't even bother me, but boy, now we're going to have a fun ride home. But here's the thing. No matter what I think about what I'm doing, it's never about me. And the moment we take it from about him to about me, it ceases to be good works, and they become the works that produce wood, hay, and stubble. That's right. Our works will produce something, by the way. That's not really the aim of this message, but we do need to understand that. Because we can ask this question, well, how do you know if the works are good or not? Well, by what they produce. Right. We look around our nation today, in our state, in our cities, in our communities, and we are full of churches that are producing fruit. But what kind of fruit are they producing? What kind of fruit are they producing? They're producing their own fruit. I don't want my fruit. Because you know what my fruit does? Same thing what happens. You go, it does. You go to the store, and you buy fruit, and you bring it on, and if you don't hurry up and use it, it gets rotten. Well, his fruit never rots. His fruit never sours. If we follow his pattern. But we need to follow his pattern of prayer. Now, I don't know if we're going to necessarily go through all of this, but as a reference point, Christ established the pattern of prayer. If we looked in Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9 and on, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But we want to understand this. He's not telling us, and you know this, and that's one of the things I appreciate about your pastor. He's good on the word of God. But we're not here to say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, that's not the point of it. He's telling us, you recognize him for who he is, and that's the first part of prayer. You recognize God for who he is, and how about while we're talking about this, how about you just, wait, in Psalm 100, enter into his gates with praise and into his presence with thanksgiving. When we go into God's presence, I think I messed something up. We could just go there. But when we go into his presence, we're going into his presence praising him. When you go to God in prayer, you're going to him his way that he desires you to come into his presence, that you just come and you are praising him for who he is, praising him for what he's done, and you're just praising him. That's how God wants you to enter into his gates with that. And into his courts with thanksgiving. And we walk into his presence and we're... I'm missing something. I could just look at it, but I'm down here and it's up there. God wants us to come to him his way. in the pattern that he's established, the pattern that he's prepared, the pattern that he's ordained that we should walk therein. Amen. And that's what God wants us to do. If my prayer life is not what God wants it to be, it's not his problem. And it's not his fault. It's mine. Because he's given me the pattern. He lived the pattern. He presented the pattern. He proved the pattern. So if prayer's not working in my life, and I don't have a pattern of it in my life, it's not because the pattern's wrong. I need to have a pattern of good works, whether it be in service, whether it be in ministry, whether it be in my personal prayer life. I need to have a pattern. We need to understand that works are for a purpose. They are not just something that God has given us that we might have religious obligations. No, there is a purpose. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. I just noticed somebody was helping me with my notes. And I have extra digits and blanks that I did not have last time I noticed. I thought I saw my little buddy at the table one time. Matthew chapter 6. That was in chapter 6. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Now, if we were to talk about a pattern of good works, it would almost be inappropriate not to mention Matthew chapter 5 when Christ gave the Sermon on the Mount. And he taught and preached on attitudes and actions. Wait, Christ actually taught on attitudes and actions? Yeah, he did. We call them the Beatitudes. By the way, those are patterns that Christ was presenting. And then when he was getting to the end of talking about a lot of those things, he started talking about being the light of the world and being salt. And he was telling his people that the patterns of your life are supposed to reveal me and make the world uncomfortable for who they are. That's what salt and light does. It reveals God and it and it seasons the whatever's down here. If you got open wounds, salt hurts. Sin is an open wound. And that's why salt's so important. The salt of the Word of God applied to the open wound of sin in the heart of man is very uncomfortable. And the only way to allow it to heal is by allow it to run its course. Which is why the world doesn't like it. I don't want that because it's uncomfortable. But this statement is made in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. There's our phrase there. And glorify the accomplishments of your hands. Oh. I gotta check, make sure my version's right. Yeah, I'm good. That men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. The purpose of our works are that God might be glorified. But I really appreciate the way it says it. It says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. You know what that means? We, as God's people, are actually supposed to do something. We're supposed to be busy. Christ was, I must be about my Father's business. I must do those things which please the Father. Hey, I got to get busy. I got to get to the work. I got to get out there and do it. I want to be busy. I don't like to be not busy unless I'm off work, and then I don't want to be busy. But no, I want to be busy. I don't like not doing nothing. I want to be busy. I want to be working. I don't want to sit back and watch everybody else do the work. I don't want to sit back and blink a few times and realize, whoa, really been 20 years and I haven't put my shoulder to the work yet? Everybody else went off and they saw the cause of serving the Savior. They sacrificed, they toiled, they showed themselves a pattern of good works. Am I going to sit back and blink my eyes and like, well, where did the time go? What pattern do I have to show for myself? No, I want to have a pattern of good works. Not because I want people to see what I've done, because if you're seeing what I'm doing, it probably means I'm doing it with the wrong attitude. But I want him to be glorified. Christ said, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And he's lifted up by my good works. So if my good works are not lifting him up, they're not good works. If he's not being lifted up, he's not drawing men to him. The purpose of our works is so that, number one, he is glorified. But number two, that men are drawn unto him. You know why people just aren't drawn to God anymore? Because this great old-fashioned Bible-believing Baptists have been trying to convince the world for the last 20 years that God's dead. But he's not. James said, I show you my faith by my works. It's getting, I appreciate this church, and I can see your testimony. I've heard of your testimony. But when we don't get about our Father's business, and when we don't function, and we don't put our shoulder to the work, the world's not going to see our good works, and God's not going to be glorified. The pattern is there. He's given us the pattern. Showing thyself a pattern of good works. Really, Paul's telling Titus to encourage the young men to develop good works in their life. Why? Because it needs developed. You know, I was saved a few years ago. And as soon as I was saved, I was not a soul winner. I had to develop the understanding and the ability to speak with people. Basically, I just had to look at the Word of God, read the Word of God, learn the Word of God, and follow the Word of God. Listen and obey. Hey, that's the pattern. Listen, obey. You need to learn how to do something. When it comes to the things of God, you listen to what the Bible says, and you do it. Where did you get that? Well, I think I got it from being doers of the Word and not hearers only. We want to hear the Word of God sometimes, but we need to be also careful. If we hear it, let's do it. Hey, that's a pattern too. You know, we find there's going to be lots of patterns in the Word of God. Anyway, I think God did that because he knows sometimes we need simple things. We need to develop patterns. But if we have a pattern, if we flip over to, if you're still in Titus, you're probably not in Titus. But if you flip over to then the next page probably, chapter 3, in Titus chapter 2, no, it's not in, maybe I should just look at my notes. That never hurt anybody. Titus chapter 2, verse 7, it says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. He speaks about the pattern. The pattern is needed. But in chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and let ours, in Titus chapter 3, verse number 14, it says, and let ours also learn to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful. So we've talked about establishing good works in our life, noting the pattern that God has established in the Word of God for a multitude of things. We've talked about prayer, we've talked about service, and those can really encompass a lot. They can encompass our relationship with God, the fellowship that we have with one another, and just the operation of spreading the gospel. Really, those are most everything in the Christian life will center around those things. But I have to develop a pattern. But once I've developed a pattern, I then have to maintain it. I have to maintain it. Well, what does that mean? Well, that means I have to try. I actually have to put some effort into it. It's not just by nature, by default, we are not going to do the things we're supposed to do. And we get to a point where we think everything's going just fine, but we need to be reminded from time to time that things don't just stay the same. It's either going to dip down or it's going to go up. And it doesn't go up accidentally. We don't make advances in our Christian life when we're lazy, when we're not paying attention to the things of God. It just doesn't happen naturally. It only happens spiritually. But when we get in our natural mind, the old flesh, you know, that sin-related stuff that we are, that's our natural state. And the natural man does not want anything to do with the things of God. My carnal nature, my old flesh, the lust of the flesh, doesn't want anything to do with the patterns of good works. It doesn't want anything to do with spreading the gospel. It doesn't want anything to do with studying the Word of God. It doesn't want anything to do with that. It wants to sit home and do nothing. So I've got to maintain good works in my life. I think of, you know, maintaining something. To maintain something is to service it. Anybody who's ever gone camping, has ever built a fire or a bonfire, you're going to know this. If you don't service it, it's going to go out. If you don't add more wood to it, fuel to it, it's going to go out. And if as a Christian, if I don't continually add through the Word of God, through prayer, add to my life, add, it's going to go out. But that last verse, 3:14 of Titus 3:14, it tells us that we're to maintain for necessary purposes, necessary uses, that we be not unfruitful. Okay, so get this. If we do not maintain good works in our life, we will be unfruitful. So we need to develop a pattern of good works so we have those good works. But then once we have them, we need to maintain them. Maintain them better than the county maintains their roads. We need to maintain, because if we don't maintain, they're not going to work. The scripture gives us several areas that we should maintain through. This is, we should maintain through study. Hey, just get your word, the Bible out, read it. That's the first step. You want to maintain the good works in your life, make sure you have an open channel to God so you can hear Him and be tender to His leading and just be listening to the Holy Spirit of God. You're not going to do that if you're not first just opening up the Word of God and just, okay, God, what do you have for me? But on top of that, to maintain good works in your life, you've got to study. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't study to show yourself approved unto God, you are going to be ashamed. I like it in this thought. I always think of this, getting a stamp that says approved. Submitting my work before God and approved. Putting my exam before my teacher and saying, well, I finished the final for this semester. I hope you can get an approval on this. I hope my papers have been sufficiently prepared. I don't like it. Unfortunately, I didn't have to deal with it, but there's a few times I was really worrying if I didn't make through a certain class at school. Like, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do this one again because you didn't finish the work. I need to know and understand the work that God has me to do. But as a Christian, as a father, as a someone preaching in any capacity, I've got to study. And if I want to go out witnessing to people and leading souls to Christ, just, hey, this is the gospel. This is what you need. But in order to do that effectively, I have got to study. Because it's His word. It's His truth. It's His gospel. And I am not Him, so I am never going to get all of it. I'm never going to know it all. I'm never going to have it all. And since it's so valuable and so important to share to someone else, I need to get more of it. I need to be able to get a hold of it. I need to study it so I can, because I never know what so-and-so is going to need. I need to study. If I don't study, I'm not going to maintain. I also need to add to my faith. I need to add to my faith. I can't just study. I can't just sit where I am. I can't just be comfortable knowing, hey, God saved me. He brought me to this point in my life. I'll just kind of maintain this. That's not what maintaining is. Maintaining, if you try to maintain right where you are, you're never going to succeed. You're always going to start, if you're not growing, you're dying. I need to maintain. 2 Peter chapter 1, it is that add to portion of Scripture. There's a few things that are there. Very clear and important for us. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter just gives an introduction. Talks about who he's talking to. It's about who he's talking about. Verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, he starts getting into the add to. He says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What did 2 Timothy 3:14 tell us? That if we don't maintain good works, we will be unfruitful. If you want to be fruitful in your life, you've got to study. You've got to add to your life. You've got to add these things, because the Bible says if they lack in you, you are going to be barren. You are going to be unfruitful. And if we continue on in verse number 9, it even goes further. It tells us that, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, the Bible's telling us there, if you don't maintain good works in your life, you're going to forget that you're even saved. You're still going to be saved. You're still going to be on your way to heaven. But blind and hath forgotten that you are purged from your old sins. You know, a lot of those times when you see people that are backslid, they are so depressed, they are so despondent, they're in a pit of no hope, and life is hopeless, and it's all, and God can't help them anymore. Because they've forgotten that they were purged from their own sins. They've forgotten their position in Christ. They don't have any purpose in Him. And their works are so far beyond that their practice denies Christ. Of course they're going to feel lost. Everything about their life points to the flesh and nothing about Christ. How do you get there? By not maintaining good works, by not adding to your faith, by not adding to your faith those things that God gave us the pattern, this needs to be in your life. It needs to. If you're a Christian, you can't afford to not have in your life what God wants to have in your life. I would hate a cake without the flour. I would hate a cookie without the chocolate chips. I would not want to eat ice cream without the cream. If you're missing something from the ingredients, the result is not going to be the same. In our life, in our Christian life, if we are missing something from the ingredients that we are to have and maintain, it's not going to be right. That's important for us to remember. We need to maintain good works. We need to maintain it. We need to purposely maintain. Through study, through adding to our faith, and through prayer. I think I've mentioned this already, but I don't know how to do it. I'm not smart enough. Well, just ask him. Go to James chapter 1. He says, if you lack wisdom, ask him. He will give it to you. And that's what I like about it. He said liberally. He's not just going to give you, I think I can trust you with that much. No, it's you ask him because you're struggling in your life and say, God, it's not working for me. Well, thank you for coming to me. I know how to make life work. Here. Whoa. You know, God can give us so many eye-opening moments. It's pretty amazing. He just wants us to reflect him. That's what good works are all about. So that we might just simply reflect him in our life. In order to reflect him, I need to develop a pattern of good works in my life. And then once I've developed that pattern, and it's kind of like making a plan and working the plan. Develop that, and then I maintain it. Because there's going to be times, I slipped up in this area. It's slipping away. Let's bring that back up. And if you're not maintaining it, you're not going to notice when something starts dropping off. How do you maintain it? Well, you get around some people and say, hey, I'm trying to be a better follower of Christ. I'm trying to be a better soul winner. I'm trying to have a better prayer life. I'm trying to be a better servant. But the thing is, I need somebody who's got eyes on me that can give me criticism. Say, hey, brother, everything going on okay? You see, sometimes other people notice when we're slipping before we do. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And we need people around us to say, hey, you keeping up on your study? You keeping up on your prayer life? And if we're not willing to have those people around us, it means we need to develop some things in our life. And once we've developed, I encourage you, maintain. And you maintain simply by the same way that we developed it. We developed it out of obedience to God. We maintain it out of obedience to God. And the special thing about God is really he does all the work. All we got to do is yield ourselves as a servant of God and reflect him. It's like the song, trust and obey. That's all it is. It's just, this is what the Bible says, I'll do it. I'll do it. The Bible says this, okay, yeah, I'll do it. God wants me to do this, I'll do it. Maintain your attitude of, when working a job, a lot of my coworkers do not like me because they say, you're just a yes guy. All you say is yes. Your boss says do this and you say yes. Well, yeah, he's my boss. You're supposed to. He's our boss. We need to get into the habit of just saying, yes, God. And if we're not in that habit, develop that habit. Yes, God. Yes, God. Because he knows. He knows exactly what's going on, and he knows why he is asking us to do what he is asking us to do. We don't have to ask why. Two-year-olds ask why. They shouldn't, but they do. We ought not be a two-year-old to God. If he gives us that instruction, yes, God. Yes, God. I have our heads.